Before we get to this week's edition of the Summer of Stein podcast, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. Those are friends over at LaCroix Sparkling Water. I love LaCroix Sparkling Water. It's a calorie sweetener and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial. I love keeping a bunch of them in my refrigerator, and whenever I go downstairs, I can have a nice, delicious LaCroix Sparkling Water, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle with no calories, no sweeteners, no sodium. It's innocent. And all natural, environmentally friendly, and flavored with fruit essences. They've got 14 LaCroix flavors. Let's see if I can name them all. Key lime, tangerine, mango, apricot, passion fruit, peach, pear, coconut, lemon, lime, berry, crayon, raspberry, orange, grapefruit, and pure. Those are the flavors. They've got 6 LaCroix Karate flavors. That's when they get all twisty and blend them together. Pineapple, strawberry, appleberry, cherry lime, kiwi, watermelon, blackberry, cucumber, and cantaloupe, pink, grapefruit. They've got a bolder flavor too. And LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Karate Sparkling Water are gluten-free as well, vegan, and non-GMO. LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Karate Sparkling Water, they're both available nationwide. So for more information and to join the LaCroix community on social media, check out at LaCroix Water or check them out at LaCroixWater.com. For a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com. And good afternoon, Eric. How are you today?
Rob, bro, I already regret choosing that as the theme song. That was way too long to dance to. And I realized I didn't have any metal moves, and it's going to be an embarrassment those 30 seconds.
All right. Eric Stein is back here today for Summer of Stein, week number 4. Rob Cesternino here, and a lot to talk about on Big Brother 20, the gift that keeps on giving, Eric.
How did they actually get this right? I'm in disbelief. The season is better than we could have ever dreamed of, and I'm actually having fun talking about it for the first time in easily 2 or 3 decades. So yeah. I'm really glad to see that BB20 is going strong.
We're really in uncharted waters here, where the live feeders, the TV watchers, the producers are all in perfect harmony. The rest of the world has really gone to hell in a handbasket. But in terms of Big Brother,
right, it is actually like fulfilling the perfect need at this time. It's idiocy on the happiest, grandest scale. It's the perfect summer escape. It really is suiting the climate really well right now, and it requires just like the perfect blend of morons and lunatics and hot bodies and everything that you would ever want in your summer escape show.
Really firing on all cylinders. And now with 1 month in the books here on Big Brother, that's sort of like the easy part, you know, to get the first month of Big Brother right. We'll move into the more difficult part of the Big Brother schedule, months 2 and 3, which can turn into a slog, but so far, so good.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of the makings of like maybe a season 11, where after you get Ronnie and Jesse and Russell and Jeff all taking each other out, then you just kind of have some people left at the end. That's a possibility this season, but I'm optimistic we're going to keep going strong straight to the finish line.
Okay. Eric, did you have a chance to watch one of the 2 showings of Tyler Crispin on TKO this week?
I am happy to say I did not. I'm out. I'm out. I knew I'd be asked about it, and even still, I could not bring myself.
Is that not one of the 800 reality show seasons that you would put? Like, I feel like that's an easy one. I feel like, how many episodes is it going to be?
Oh, God, they could run off hundreds. Who even knows? Mm-hmm. I always try and sample out the premiere episode, as I did, and that was the last one I was going to sample. It's like a supermarket sample that they hand out to you, and then you need to politely spit in the garbage afterwards.
Eric, with all of your reality TV show wisdom, would you drop a pearl on us and give us something you would do in the TKO think tank? How would you make TKO even more exciting, if that's possible?
Easy, I'd cancel it. Problem solved. No need to think tank the show. I mean, you could diversify the challenges so it's not incredibly repetitive after the first 10 minutes of episode one. Mm-hmm. You could not bring in illegal casting ringers to play the show. That would be
nice.
I don't
know if anything is illegal.
Well, not like technically in a governmental sense. Just, yes. You know, just a little off. I don't think it can be saved.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, just, you know, if anything comes to you over the course of the summer of Steve, let us know and we'll see what we can do. But Eric,
actually, that would be something good. Have Steve play.
Yeah, it would be like, I think that they actually had something there with the Big Brother contestants. Like they when they leave on, I mean, I know the taping schedule is off on TKO, but if they could, like, whoever got evicted and like, okay, and then tune in tomorrow night when Winston will be competing on TKO. We'll see how he can, like, I feel like that could be some synergy there.
I think all hope is lost.
Hope is lost.
I mean, Winston could probably bring in an extra 3 or 4 viewers, I suppose.
Yeah. Why, you don't think that Winston has like pinpoint aim and accuracy from all of his firearm training?
Yeah, I think this is not going to be the summer of Winston 2018, unfortunately. This is like his worst nightmare unfolding. I think his bro might be settling in for a nice long run in the house while he mm-hmm. just cries himself into his live feeds and pillows late at night.
Did you happen to watch the CBS Off the Block this week, Eric, where Winston sat down for a chat with Ross Matthews and Lance Bass?
My favorite part was when they revealed to him that Sam chose to save nobody instead of him as an ally.
How did he take that?
Not well. You're telling me she's going to just save whoever goes home?
Yes.
And then he goes, but then he actually takes a second and just goes, I guess it means it could save Brett. That's nice, but it would have been better if it was me.
It would have been better. It would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been better.
All right, well, let's talk about Winston, who leaves us in week 3. Eric, any parting words for Winston as he becomes the most recently evicted Big Brother house guest?
Well, I feel confident I won't be hearing from Winston on social media. So let me just tell
you. He won't be part of the inner circle of Eric Stein, former Big Brother house guest alumni.
Yeah, I don't think Eric Bro and Winston Bro will be grabbing any beer bros later on this summer. So let me just say, every season of Big Brother has a Winston. And, you know, they always go home right around week 3. Mm. The person who thinks they're running the game, they're somehow in charge of an alliance that half the house doesn't even know exists or certainly doesn't feel affected by. Yeah, I think the ultimate in memoriam on Winston is not one that's going to appear in the Oscar reel by the end of 2018. I don't think we're going to see Winston's greatest hits. I don't think anyone is mourning his loss all that badly. I would say the most interesting blowback of Winston's ouster is the fact that it positions Brett much better. Just like Swaggy leaving helps Bailey a lot. A lot of times the remaining member of a fallen duo can get some legs back in the house. And I think that Winston's greatest legacy might be setting up Brett for a good run in the game.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Because I was thinking about, would Winston get a question from Julie when they bring out like the 5 people that didn't make the jury out for the finale? And really, only if Brett makes a very deep run into the game, I think that we might get these. So, what do you think of your bro? How did he do in the game? But it's interesting you bring up Swaggy C and Bailey. Do you think that this opens up the door for Winston to start selling some branded Winston Bro, Brett Bro merchandise?
Oh, man. Hopefully on the HOH camera, they got some good bro hug and bro clap action. Mm-hmm. So that way he can print that up
Yeah.
And silk screen them right onto something before getting a cease and desist from CBS.
Oh, well, yes. That you got to be very careful these days.
Yeah, do not use the show logo.
Yes. And we'll find out if Winston Bro gets permission from Brett Bro's family to be able to sell some branded Bro merchandise. And if that's coming, we should pick some up.
On the positive side, he can appear live just like Rachel Riley agreed to play Who Said It, Rachel or Rachel. Well, now Winston versus Winston Churchill is a go if we can just get Churchill's agent on the horn.
The real Winston Churchill or the John Lithgow Winston Churchill?
I mean, whoever we can get.
Okay. Eric, on Thursday night, the world witnessed Brett give a great speech, which really set off a lot of fireworks in the house. And then Winston came in with a slightly less memorable speech that did not get lost on us or the research team behind the Summer of Stein podcast. Check out this clip from Winston's speech on Thursday night.
Got us in this position, and I will say, it's hard to campaign against Mr. Planet Fitness Most Wanted, a.k.a. Preppy, a.k.a. the Zach Morris. So take that with it what you will.
Okay, so first off, we talked about back in the first episode of the Summer of Stein podcast that the Level 6 Alliance was very reminiscent of the Bayside High School's most hated six students, the Zach attack, as you will, but that if you can see Eric's shirt here in the video version of the Summer of Stein podcast.
The World Tour 91. This is a actual classic vintage concert tee from the Zach attack tour.
Did you have to camp out to win tickets to see the Zach attack in the mall?
It's actually a funny story. See, I'm on this podcast once a week. Mm-hmm. And in that podcast network, there is this other podcast that actually has guest appearances by Casey Kasem. And if you recall, Casey Kasem actually did an expose, a documentary on the Zach attack. So through the podcast, I actually got in touch with the ghost of Casey Kasem, who hooked me up with tickets 27 years ago. And this memorabilia as well. So I found it very fascinating that Winston was seeing things the way that we are. And I'm wondering, instead of wake up music, do you think it's possible that they're actually getting the live feeds of Rob Has a Podcast in the house every morning?
Oh, that is possible. That is possible. And what a small world that whole story is.
I know. It's really worlds collide out there.
That's right. So, Eric, but going back to Winston thinks that he's Slater and Brett is Zach Morris.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Also surprising was what is and who is Mr. Planet's Fitness World. Why was this?
Got us in this position. And I will say, it's hard to campaign against Mr. Planet Fitness Most Wanted.
Mr. Planet Fitness Most Wanted, which...
That's just a sequence of words. That's not a coherent thought.
Yes. Is it because Planet Fitness is against the sort of like they sort of advertise like, hey, we are against
very
the
high concept.
Lunkhead jocks. We don't want those guys. We're going to drop the weights around here. It's a friendly environment at Planet Fitness. So that's why he's Planet Fitness Most Wanted.
You get the impression that in Winston's mind, they were on the show a lot more than they were. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Winston thinks that we know, like, the whole mythology of the bros, like, the entire backstory, every inside joke they've ever had. Because every time he had, like, a platform to speak, he would reference these stories as if everyone was, like, totally in on it. Meanwhile, they may have been shown together easily 30 seconds on the entire season.
Yeah, they didn't get a lot of airtime together. And he's like just smiling so much and laughing, like everything about Brett is so hilarious that he can't even get the sentence out. He's like completely cracking.
Got us in this position, and I will say, it's hard to campaign against Mr. Planet Fitness Most Wanted, a.k.a. Preppy, a.k.a. the Zach Morris. So,
He just can see himself shooting up the popularity polls with that zinger.
Yeah, for sure. Eric, so speaking of Saved by the Bell, we had talked about last week, you heard the great intro theme to the show from Adam Berkowitz, and we thank him for that. Great job on the live feed updates on Monday morning as well. But there was some clamoring for, would be great if there was something Saved by the Bell NFL themed as well here on the Summer of Stein. So maybe there might be a place to end the show with this medley that was sent to us by one of our listeners, CT.
I'm having heart palpitations.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loving, there's a pounding in my weeping shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer of Stein.
Oh my God, this tugs at my heartstrings. I'm overcome.
Yes.
All of my favorite things have converged into one place.
That's
I live
this
for
is.
Monday afternoons now.
Yes. Okay. Eric, so we mentioned how there were these speeches, the Winston speech, other than inspiring a Saved by the Bell theme song for you, ultimately did not move the needle much. But Brett's speech, where he then said that Rockstar was going to flip her vote and blame it on Caitlyn, did create a lot of drama. You know, Brett really has he hasn't been a major character on the show, but in these moments where he's had the public spotlight on him, he's done a lot with his time to speak.
Well, it's funny because Taryn has talked a lot about how Rockstar is sort of the avatar of the Big Brother fan. She is the voice of Twitter and, you know, has that sort of outrage. And that's why Brett is the perfect villain for this season, because if you are watching the Big Brother live feeds 24/7, there's a good possibility that Brett did shove you into a locker sometime back in high school. I mean, myself included. So realistically speaking, they could elevate Brett to iconic villain status or poet laureate status, depending, because I found his words to be almost far more inspiring than Winston's ever did. In fact, they inspired me to pen you a poem.
Yes. Well, Brett, in his speech on Wednesday night on the veto ceremony, had some inspiring words for Scotty, which he gave us.
Scotty. Sweet, sweet Scotty. Your arms are large, like a honey glazed ham. Your chest burly, like a big, big man. Your eyes captivating like the sea. I just had a vision.
Yes, what a poet, Eric.
Yes, I combined his speech with also the big reveal that he did on Rockstar, and I wrote a poem for you. Brace yourself. This is a blockbuster right here, okay?
Blockbuster.
Okay. Hey, O Robbio, my handsome prince. When I tell you this news, I'm afraid you will wince. Every morning by Sugar Ray is your daily alarm song, but you'll soon be betrayed by your dear friend and host, Taryn Armstrong.
Oh, no.
He came to me with a plan. He says we don't need you. He wants to run RHAP by himself with a little help from this Jew. No, Taryn, no way, I exclaimed. I don't want that kind of hate again. Don't worry, Eric, he said to me. We'll blame it on our life coach, Caitlyn. Fiend.
Wow. And this was a true story?
This is a true story. Taryn came to me earlier this week. He said it's going to be a close vote, but he is getting some of his daily update and live feed crew to try and overthrow you. And he wanted to know where I stand. And he told me that it's fine, because if I go ahead and do this, we can just pin it all on Caitlyn.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the heads up on that.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that. Be careful. I don't think that the rest of the house is going to be able to figure out what happened, though, so be careful.
Yes. All right. So this gave us a bunch of great moments after Brett ended up outing Rockstar, allegedly. She was very upset about the whole situation because, of course, it took place on a very special day, Eric.
I can't believe on my daughter's birthday.
Yes, that this all happened.
The worst thing that ever happened to me on my birthday was that my ex-girlfriend didn't wish me happy birthday and we got into a dead serious fight.
And that was it? Was she your current girlfriend at the time?
That was the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Eric, I have an email to us from Derek, one of the listeners. Is Rockstar only angry at Brett because he made those statements that was allegedly on her daughter's birthday? Would she have been upset if he said it during the veto meeting? She didn't really express any other issue with it. Was it just the timing of what he said?
always great to hear from Big Brother winner and Detective Derek Levasseur. Yeah. Thank you for writing in. It's nice to know that you're listening. Yes, I do believe that is the only reason that she was bothered by it.
So if you would have waited a couple days, that would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's totally fine to be framed. I don't think that was the issue. I just think it was the timing of it all. It's just really disgusting of him and totally inappropriate.
Well, that we know. It was, the whole thing was very disgusting.
Disgusting. The thing that's really wonderful about it, though, is just like we had some great poetry this week, we also heard a symphony, so to speak, from a rock star. It was a micro penis in the key of B for Brit Bro. It was beautiful.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Eric, because I would love to do a deep dive with you into all of this. We saw this sequence play out on the show last night, but I actually have the extended version of this from the Big Brother live feeds, and I'd love to play it and then talk with you about, like, let's score. Obviously, you played with Dick Donato. You lived through a pots and pans ceremony in the house. So I'd love to hear you critique what she's getting right and wrong here when she decides to get out the pan and go to Brett to really, what she called it was a celebration, really, of what she was doing. She said,
"It's a celebration, bitches."
Celebration. So here is a little bit of that. Okay, this is from the night of July 20th in the Big Brother house.
I just washed my hair in there, so it's wet.
My best friend's in the house. Give me a B. Give me a R. Give me a E.
Well, this is...
Give me a T. Brett.
Okay, so far, what do you think of the name cheer, Eric?
It was a 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10. Not the world's most creative, not even a particularly annoying, certainly not insulting. That's just saying his name. I think she could have done better. I think what she needed to do was, instead of spiraling in the moment, she needed to take a minute to pen some of her material before she went out there. And that was a Dick Donato problem as well. His material's got a little bit stale, because when you're going to go off for 10 to 12 straight hours, or 3 or 4 days, as it were, in Rockstar's case, you need to become armed with a good amount of insults for everybody, because otherwise you start recycling really, really quickly. And, you know, you can't go to the diary room and ask them for some new script pages. So you need to be on top of these things. And I feel like she kind of, you know, started cycling back through her material kind of quickly. So not the strongest start, in my opinion.
What do you think of her basically banging the pots and pans, and not so much, "I hate Brett, I'm going to make you miserable," that she's, "This is a celebration that I'm so happy Brett is still here"?
You see, I think she was going for some sort of sarcastic irony, you know, saying, "Oh, well, of course I would be working with you because we are the best of friends." But the thing is, the house is so stupid that the irony was lost on them, went right over their head. So they didn't even understand where she was coming from.
Okay, so she continues.
"Motherfucking Brett in the house. He's my best friend. Oh, I'm so happy. Don't talk about his micro penis. Hey, it's okay, Brett."
What did you think about the outing of the micro penis, Eric? Did you like that?
Well, I'm curious on your take on this. Is it possible that before the feeds, there was a heart to heart in which he revealed he does, in fact, have a micro penis? Do you think she's using personal information that she's armed with to attack him? Or do you think this was more of creative license in the situation?
I suspect it was creative license, but the, you know, overcompensating bro-ness of Brett, I feel like that, I guess it is possible, but I feel like that the people that are out there who do this kind of due diligence seem to come down on the side that this might in fact be
fake news.
Is it possible that was at least his casting story? Just like Scotty proclaimed himself to be a virgin, he spoke of his lifelong struggles with micropenisism.
Do you think that that would be effective? You get in the room with Robin Cass, the CBS executives, and talk about your struggle with micropenis. Is that possibly?
Yeah. At first blush, you guys think I'm going to be the guy who's going to showmance your hunk of the season. But boy, are my fellow house guests in for a surprise when they see me in my swim trunks. Yeah. I think it's possible. Yes, I think that would work.
Yeah. Okay. That look, yeah, I guess it can't hurt.
I think it's a lowbrow insult from Rockstar, but if Brett is as advertised, it probably hurt him badly. So it probably was a good blow the strike against him.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brett. So happy he's here. Oh, he's not. Nothing to fear.
I feel like that she
mumble.
Yeah, last second.
I'm surprised she went with a cheerleader-y sort of tune. Also, I also thought very lazy of the Big Brother editors to reintroduce clown music. And it wasn't Josh's clown song, but it was very reminiscent of his clown song. Yeah. So it's likewise that now that's iconic. You know, you bang a pot and pan and you're a member of the traveling circus.
There ain't no one way to edit this, Eric.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, they could have done a deep dive into his micro penis like we are.
Yeah,
there's options.
Eric, what do you think about Rockstar's musical ability as wielding a percussion instrument? Do you suspect that maybe she was on the triangle back in or the cowbell?
Well, if I were Rockstar, I would be concerned. Because as we, I'm sure, will address later on, we know that Sam has a very strict code of morals. Mm-hmm. And in the event she needs to come up with a replacement nominee later in the week, it's possible that rock and roll music, the songs of the devil, yes, if you will, might, yes, be rounds for targeting someone in this house. You know, so if I were her, I would watch out. You don't want to tip yourself. I mean, you're already going by the name of Rockstar. Yeah. You know, you don't want to show your hand as being one of those wild childs.
Yeah, not very ladylike to listen to the devil music.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Rachel dances hip hop, not even the Queen's Ballet. So she's in danger, too.
Yeah. But in fairness, I do feel like that Rockstar does a good job keeping the beat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't get that moniker by naming yourself that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you?
Hard I don't to
say.
Know.
I'm going to be safe because my best friend is here. But we yes, have a secret show band.
Okay, how about this development?
This was a surprise, and I felt like this may have been an excuse to fondle him under the guise of mocking him. It seemed like she slipped that in there. She's happily married. She has three kids. She's not going to be having a
For the record, I do not believe that she is married. I believe that she has
don't want to report
on situation, but okay, I do not believe that it's a marriage.
Nonetheless, it did feel like there was no particular reason that mounting him would help this situation, and she still went for that in the sequence. So I thought that was a nice aggressive move, added some beautiful physicality to that. So I'm going to give that portion an 8.5 out of 10 for her aggressive fondlings, and I'm surprised it didn't make TMZ.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, by the way, kudos to you. Congratulations.
Well,
you're on the board.
I don't want any credit for that. I don't want any, like, and a lot of people were like, when the TMZ story came down last week with the conversation between Bailey and JC, I was getting a lot of congratulatory tweets.
No, you got to back away
and
from
I
the
said,
draft.
I tried as hard as, like, please, I never want that to be a reason when there are certain words spoken. I never want to be the guy receiving compliments or kudos.
I deliberately selected the three people least likely to cause waves in the house, yes, so that way it would fall on you, yes, if there was blowback.
That is a social media grenade that I did not want to try to wrangle with. Whoopsie daisies. I do think Rockstar comes off looking good, though, that yes, she did out Brett's micro penis, but she did not stop that from having a secret showmance where it's almost like that the quality of his character is so strong that despite the micro penis, she's carrying on a secret showmance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that she was looking for trust and other sort of qualities in the man. So it's very nice that she was willing to overlook that. I agree. It's a very high character building moment. And I think that's probably why they chose to edit it in such a celebratory way for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind his micro penis. He's like a large clitoris. Secret showbiz.
I, I don't mind. Again, this is a quote. So again, parental discretion is advised. We should have read out that warning that they played at the start of Big Brother before this episode.
You never want to see that warning at the beginning of a Big Brother episode.
Never
want to.
Again, Secret Showmance, don't mind the micro penis. It's like a large clitoris.
I totally missed that during the episode.
For the record, this was in the live. I'm playing you from the live feeds. This was not in the episode. If anything, Rockstar is she's like the Don Draper of micropenis. She's making it sound very exciting.
I'm not going to lie. I think this was a pretty decent song. And if I were Big Brother, I would probably put the track on iTunes. They could probably get a good 800 downloads for $2.99 each. You know, I would just lean right into the whole thing. And possibly this could replace the Ziggy Marley concert this summer if she's still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe she could team up with Ziggy Marley for the remix.
Well, she sort of does that bizarre reggae-ish voice in the diary room of late, which I'm not actually really sure what sort of put on that is. But maybe they've worked together in the past.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I have a rock star in the diary room. This is...
Yes, Winston and Brett are on the block.
Yeah.
Polly is going to have to be edited out of this concert.
Okay, all right. Back to let's pick it up with a large clitoris.
Naturally.
Brett. Give it up for Brett.
I'm not gonna let
Brett.
I don't know what I need.
Yeah, I'll be here all night.
Thank you.
Singing for my friend. So happy he's here.
Feels like we're running out of gas here a little bit.
I think it would have been a prime opportunity for a rhyme scheme, which she missed the boat on
right.
there.
We're a good 60 seconds into this, and it feels like we're running out of gas.
I will say this, though, right? For someone who did live in the house with a pot and panner, so to speak, it's more effective than you would think because you can't punch the person and you can't leave. So it is quite irritating. And if that is the intended effect, that you are going to upset and frazzle and annoy the person, it's going to work because there's nowhere to go. So, I would imagine that he probably was getting somewhat annoyed by it, but I think he did a pretty good job keeping his composure.
All right, now here's something. This came as a shock to me. He's actually my baby's daddy, which I think really, Eric, the aforementioned child, perhaps that it was the birthday.
That's why it was so hurtful.
Yes. And he did all these things to the Secret Showmance mom. What a twist. Not since Project DNA has Big Brother attempted something like this, where they put a couple that has children together into the house, unbeknownst to the rest of the players.
But wouldn't that be actually amazing? And they set course this this discord between them to cover up what was actually going on. I would absolutely love that. I think that also interesting is that, again, very open of her to have fathered children with a man with a micro penis. That couldn't have been all that pleasurable. Yeah. So I say good on her. Good on her. She has been proven to be very open-minded throughout the season.
Yeah. I do kind of feel like that at the point where you're Mr. Rockstar watching this, that I feel like Secret Showmance, okay, maybe, ha ha ha. But then when we start to get to know, he's the biological father of my children.
Yeah, and then in next week when they have sex on the feeds and she's just leaning into it.
Bazinga, you
for
again.
The narrative. Yeah, exactly.
That's right! Yes! Yeah. Yes, Brett! Oh, so fucking happy! Yes, Brett!
And that's what she's laying
on him. I'm not going to lie, I once paid to attend a Gen City concert live in New York City.
Yes. How much is a ticket to a Gen City concert?
They paid me $5, actually. but how much would you be willing to see Rockstar in concert at the end of the season? And maybe who are some other opening acts from Big Brother's past that could potentially be a part of this lineup? Because I feel like this could be like American Idol goes on tour
concert
season. Yeah, this could be really nice to Big Brother Live.
The problem with these Big Brother events where they do the infamous Pauly Calafiore meet and greet, where they don't really perform anything, where then I believe that Pauly Calafiore came out and lip sync danced to a Bruno Mars song, but it wasn't really, it's not really a show where
I'm gonna knock your socks off. I once appeared live on stage at the Shine Bright Like a Frankie concert.
Yes. And what does Frankie perform?
The Broadway standards mostly.
Yes. Does he sing or he just is dancing?
He did, I think, sing something like Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong with a montage of Big him and Zach behind them on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's great is he called me up as Big Brother legend Eric Stein. But I think it was distinctly possible he did not know who I was at that time.
That's fine. That's fine. Yes. Look, at least that's close. That is technically a performance as opposed to people just in a bar. So if you could have Rockstar, is Rockstar going to perform her hit single Brett Has a Micropenis?
Yeah, I think that she could probably also sell CD singles, possibly out mm-hmm. on the, kind of hand them out to passersby.
So you could have Rockstar, the aforementioned Gen City. Now, are there any other musical acts that you can think of? Could we get Caitlyn's boyfriend, Joe?
Oh, that is actually very nice. We could also get, there's been some great country singers on Survivor. Perhaps we can make it a CBS crossover.
You think Chase Rice would perform?
He might have to be the second opener. He deserves more advanced billing, possibly. It'll be Boyfriend Joe, Chase Rice, Gen City, Rockstar, because Rockstar is, the hot act at the moment.
Yeah. There's no other musical talent that over the Big Brother pantheon, Eric?
I'm really trying to rack my brain, and I thought someone would pop to head, but what I've concluded is there's just no talent whatsoever in the Big Brother pantheon.
No
couple of okay
word.
Pro wrestlers, in all fairness.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can find somebody. Maybe if there was some sort of We Are the World type Big Brother alumni gathering.
Everyone's at the mic and all of the self important people pouring out their hearts. The vision of Pauly and Zakiya and Austin all, and then a keyboard solo from a
Steve
great
Moses.
Johnny Mac. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This we have to produce.
Johnny
this
Mac is, could, play have a guitar solo.
Oh my God. This, I'm actually getting excited about this.
Chills. Okay. So this will all be at our recap of the recap summer extravaganza. Very exciting stuff. Let me give you some other questions. Before I get to a question. One of our esteemed researchers on this show, the great Will from America, actually did some research about the Angie Rockstar's daughter's birthday. He went to a website called baby2c.com to use the conception calculator to figure out that it is his hypothesis that Angie Rockstar's daughter, whether it was with Brett or another biological father, that the baby was conceived on Halloween night.
I actually know a couple who conceived a few children on Halloween night, so yes. I think that's a thing. People like that cosplay, She probably dressed up as Rainbow Bright.
The spookiest night of the year to conceive, right?
Well, if a micro penis was involved, it's probably fairly frightful.
Ooh. What is your micro penis's costume? Well, it's actually posing as a large clitoris. The costume. John Barber has a question, Eric, wants to know, do you have the definitive ranking of the names of rock stars' kids? Hope you know them off the top of your head, because I could surely find that info for you. Eric, do you have a ranking of the names? Obviously, not the people, but could you rank the names Aradia, Avalon, and Isaac?
I will give it Aradia number one for creativity.
I believe Aradia is the was the child with
birthday.
Girl. Yes.
Yeah.
Girl.
I mean, we're celebrating her this week, so it'd be wrong to not give her number one.
Yes. And a big Rob is a podcast happy birthday to Aradia this week, who turns 10.
Absolutely. Maybe we could pen her a birthday song, possibly. Be beautiful. I would say. I would say Avalon. I will choose next. I think that's a very pretty name. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And Isaac, I'm going to take a pass on.
Oh.
I performed as a youth in many a production, just like a young Josh Wiggler in Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I did not like the teenager who played the role of the brother Isaac. I don't even know if that was actually a role in that show.
Okay, so you go with just in biological order: Aradia, Avalon, Isaac. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I also consulted Brett and asked who his favorites were. So
yes. Okay. Let me see anything else on Angie Rockstar and Brett. Anything else to add, Eric?
I had nothing to add about a good 10-15 minutes ago, so I'm ready to move on.
Eric, did you happen to go out and see Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again this weekend?
Well, you know, I was not going to, but I saw this great review online by a man named Brent Wolgamon.
Yes. What did he say?
Well, he said it was a masterpiece of the American cinema. He said the priest himself gives it 5 stars.
Yes.
That it was penned by the great Winston and/or Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And, a surefire not miss.
Yeah. I saw one reviewer say that Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, is the definition of female empowerment. Go yes. See it now.
It is filled with big dick power. Cher will have you believe that there's better times ahead.
Yeah, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again had a close shave at the box office this weekend, Eric, where they had to hold off the new Denzel Washington film for the number one spot at the box office. That there were some conflicting reports whether Mamma Mia 2 or Equalizer 2 was going to be number one at the box office this past weekend.
I do not consider that is the exact opposite of female empowerment to me. As a dignified lady, as female ensemble, they should have clearly ceded their spot in the number one role to Denzel because he's just a man and he can't control his box office.
Yeah, the men couldn't help themselves going to go see.
Now, since I know that you love Mamma Mia and I know that you've seen the original many, many times before, I'm curious if you'd like to speculate with me what you think the plot of Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, might possibly consist of.
Well,
of course, off of the original.
I got Mamma Mia shamed this week because I talked about how I did not recall that there was a Mamma Mia film that had been made. I knew about the musical. And I knew that that was a thing. And I was like, oh, they made a movie out of Mamma Mia. And I did not recall that that had actually happened 10 years ago, which not for anything. There's a lot of things that happened to Mia 10 years ago that I don't remember. So excuse Mia for not recalling that that this film came out actually 10 years ago.
Yeah, what kind of prep work are you doing for these shows, Rob? You're not going out and watching every movie that comes out? How dare you?
Right.
If I had to guess what the plot may be based on last night.
You guess, because I actually know.
Whoa, did you go and see it to make up for lost time? Is that what happened
here? No, I didn't see it, but Brent had mentioned it on the podcast, and that's how we got into that. This is Mamma Mia 2?
Okay, so my thought is that it stars JC from Big Brother 20 as an Italian chef. Because I found his diary room session last night to be like some sort of like maniacal take on like, I don't know, like a ho ho ho. Sort of, that's right. It's like, and then I will get fessier to trust me more. So I'm envisioning he's the villain, if there is a villain, of Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. And based on previous evidence from this very podcast, I'm guessing that the hero of the love story is probably none other than either, probably both, J.C. Chassé or Jesus Christ, possibly. Mm-hmm. So I'm envisioning an ensemble piece in which the three of them are jockeying for shared love.
Yeah.
And J.C. from Big Brother, JC from NSYNC and JC from the Bible, and they're all in some sort of love square.
Yeah. With so what I like about this is that maybe there's like a note, and I think that probably, I mean, you could take your pick from who is your favorite Big Brother 20 house guest that is constantly confused, but mine is Fessy. And so he gets some sort of a love note that's signed JC, and he doesn't know, like, oh man, who sent me this?
So he like intercepted the wrong letter. Oh no.
Yes, well, somebody left a note maybe on his, somebody signed into his Fessy Fitness app and said, hey, like, hey Fessy, can't wait to see you, signed JC. And then he spends the whole movie trying to figure out which is the JC Mia.
And just like his decisions that he might be forced to make later on this week, things are going to get hashtag messy for Fessy. Messy for... That's the plot of Mamma Mia 2.
He's always caught in the crossfire. A Fessy's choice always for Fessy. Okay, Eric, we mentioned a couple times about Sam and her decision-making. Of course, last night on the episode, we saw how Sam came to decide how it was going to be Haley and Caitlin, which were going to go up on the block this week.
Honestly, I don't care for how the two of you treat the young men in this house. I think that they deserve more respect. And I think that it is the opposite of female empowerment.
The opposite of female empowerment, Eric.
So what is it? First of all, let's try and figure out, just in a, you know, linguistics sort of situation, what is the opposite of female empowerment?
Well, I think that then we would probably need to establish what would female empowerment look like in the Big Brother house?
And then does that become the opposite
figure out what the opposite
empowerment,
of
female disempowerment, yes. female depowerment.
So and again, this is dicey territory for us to wade into, but I would imagine that female empowerment in the house might look like some sort of Black Widow brigade, where not the Enzo brigade, but the women of the house get together and say, all the men here are dumb. We want no part of them. We are running the house. We are calling the shots. We will send the men off spinning in all these different directions.
Something like the iconic Ball Smashers, who very much deserve to win Big Brother Over the Top.
Yes, you've come around.
Finally, I have that off my plate.
Wow. We've got a real come to Jesus on that.
I will say I did meet a few of the Ball Smashers in New York, or rather say did not meet them. They were in my physical presence, but strangely enough, none of them said hello to me when I was there. So
you deserve it.
They may have caught wind of something.
Okay. So So the female empowerment would probably look like, okay, we are going to, even if we won't let our whatever differences we may have, we won't let that get in the way of all of us women sticking together, staying empowered. We will support each other no matter what goes on in the house, because we are the women of this house and we are empowered. I think that that's probably what the definition of female empowerment in Big Brother would look like.
Right. So therefore, if we are trying to break down what the opposite of that would look like, it would be wearing baggy sweatshirts around the house, right?
I would think that the opposite of female empowerment would look like...
But just aligning with men, which Sam is doing.
Yes,
is
that, yes. I think I have...
Sorry, that's it. I'm ready to go off about this.
I have petty differences, and then because of that, I will nominate two women to go home. I think that would be the opposite of female empowerment in the Big Brother house.
I've been told I've been a little too sedate in these podcasts, and I am ready for a rant. Here, what in the Sam hell has Sam been thinking this week? This is a mess of the most sensational proportions. First of all, and this, I don't think this has been hit on nearly hard enough. Why in the world were
Tyler
and Casey and Sam trying to win this HOH in the first place and showing that they're good at these competitions and angering potential nominees? And like, this is so wrong on so many levels. Then she theorizes, well, at least I'll can keep a moniker of control if I were to control the nominations and I'm the one who sends someone out. Okay. So you spend the week being kind to your nominees, possibly. Maybe you, you know, sort of say, hey, listen, I really, whoever stays, I want to work with you in the future. I think everyone here is fantastic. You know, I may have a few tricks up my sleeve, but no, instead we will shame them, anger them, and go after our actual targets who we factually know are not leaving the house this week. I could not for the life of me. Oh, let's keep in mind, can't play the following HOH as a result of this when the person will come back. And we all know full well that whoever returns to the house, there's like an 85% chance that that person wins HOH. So whoever goes home this week, it'll be their family's trivia as the HOH competition. So, you know, that's how you know production's on your side when it's like life coaching 101 will be. The theme might not be the best example,
but yeah.
Well, it might not help her. But nonetheless, here we go. I just do not understand what has possibly possessed this woman this week, other than the worst moral high ground power trip. I mean, and the thing is, we always have recency bias, but this is really climbing up there quickly as for one of the most misguided HOH reigns in the history of the show.
Yeah,
this is such a debacle.
So interesting, Eric, because we have this week which does not count, and the one person who, you know, and Tyler knows too, but the person who owns the power, who most is keenly aware that whoever goes out this week will not stay out, that decides, I need to get some blood on my hands in this meaningless week, and I will decide my nominees, whereas every other HOH, almost in the history of the show, has said, hey, these nominations are not personal. This is strictly game. The one person who knows that this is, in fact, a fake week that will not count has decided to make two nominations that are not really game motivated, but are nominations for personal reasons.
Right. There's also no chance whatsoever that Sam was going on the block this week. And she factually knew that if for some bizarre reason she did, she
would not go home.
Right. So what I mean, and nobody at first blush would assume that she's a big endurance threat. And I don't see why you'd want someone to be like, that's a big theme of the season. I'm going to assert how awesome of a player I am, because that always works well in the Big Brother house. It worked well for Winston. It worked well for Swaggy.
Wait, which Winston? Churchill?
Churchill, yeah. That led to his untimely demise. And I could not imagine what the producers are sitting there thinking as she's laying out this plan for them. It's just amazing. It's just so great. So great. And she probably went from, you know, nowhere on anyone's target list, one of the least targeted people in the house, to right back up the target list. And also, you know, when they go after ultimately someone like a Tyler later in the game, someone needs to be sitting on the block next to that person. Then we've seen it time and time again in Big Brother history. If Tyler wins the veto, pulls himself down, whoever's the one who's sitting there next to him goes home as sort of collateral damage. That's going to be Sam now. What an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, let me bring in some questions here. Let's take a question from the great Mike Bloom. We'll skip this question from the Melissa Bot about would Eric do a Mamma Mia podcast? I'll tell you.
Already done it.
All right. Mike Bloom asks us, can you come up with reasons that Sam would give to nominate some of the other house guests that are left or some past house guests?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Rob, you did not show your math arithmetic work on your assignment, and that's not the way I learned to do my assignments. And I think that even though you got the correct answer, it was very disrespectful that you did not show your work. And I think that was a violation to the education system. So I'm going to have to nominate you.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot. So many. I mean, the thing is, imagine if she was in the house with people, the many, many dozens of people who actually did morally disgraceful things.
Yes. Yeah.
Then we'd really have a problem on our hands.
Something. Rockstar, I think, was lucky to avoid the initial nominations as she has, before she even made the admissions of having a secret showmance with Brett, but she also has had children and isn't even married.
From where I come from, Rockstar, pink hair means you're on LSD. And I do not like LSD because, I mean, it's okay, though, honestly, if the men don't show their math work or they are on LSD because they're men, so they can't help themselves. But Rockstar, you should know better than that. You're a lady.
anybody else, Eric?
Julie, I have to nominate you because I heard you don't have programming in your ear, mm-hmm. which is very disrespectful very to disrespectful. The audio of the show.
Yes, major problem. So,
Paulie, no, you can't help it because you're just a boy, but you peed in the hot tub, which is very unhygienic.
You know, Zakiya, I just don't like how you were tempting Paulie that he's got all this burgers and steak and he just doesn't need any more drama from you.
Amber, I think you should have known that you were playing your feminine wiles on Beast Mode Cowboy. It's not his fault that he's aggressively stalking you around this house, and he's going to definitely be on several more CBS shows while you will never show your damn face here ever again.
That's how it should be. Okay. Let me bring you this question. This is from Brent the Showerman, who has a theory about maybe why Sam is coming for Caitlin this week.
Hey, Robin, Eric. This is Brent the Showerman. In the eviction episode this week, they showed us Sam's family, which, first of all, let me just say, that was weird, right? That was weird that they included that in the episode. But anyways, they showed...
Eric, was that weird?
They showed the Stein family not once, but twice on Big Brother 8. And it was weird, yeah.
It's a lot of strange things about Sam, including that she's into taxidermy, and they told us she was a bartender, which then they cut to her making some sort of, like, prison wine with crushed grapes in a milk jug. Yeah. I don't know what that was all about, but... Anyways, I think that the most odd thing that they showed us was something about her family. I don't know if you guys caught this, but her brother is named Joe. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything, but could this be Caitlin's infamous Joe? Could this be the weirdest wrinkle in this whole Caitlin and her boyfriend situation? What do you guys think? Is Caitlin dating Sam's brother?
Okay.
I just had a hit.
Yes. Hold on. Eric has had a hit.
Like I had not just heard this in a voicemail from Brent the Shower Man. It just came to me that it's possible that Sam's brother could possibly be Joe, Caitlin's boyfriend.
Okay.
And I saw 10 years into the future. Mm-hmm. To the plot of Mamma Mia 3. Here we go again.
My.
Mama, mama, mia, mia, mia. And I think this could possibly be the storyline that we'll be seeing at that time. I think that Brent is onto something here. And possibly, just to add another tier to this, is it possible that Brent the Shower Man is noted film reviewer Brent Wolgamott?
Hmm.
What a tangled web we weave.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
I think he's onto something. Yeah.
Did you think that Sam's brother Joe looked like the guy from the pictures that is with Kaylin?
Actually, I thought it looked like Joe Anglim. Oh. And I was confused because I heard he was busy. It's very surprising. The CBS is going really deep in their crossovers these days.
Yeah. Well, they're just running out of people, you think?
It's possible.
Yeah. It's kind of like Westworld CBS, basically, where we're just taking the different robots and then we're just putting them together with a... It's the boyfriend bot is now just basically going to be running the programming for the Sam's brother bot.
I don't have the programming in my ear.
All right. Let's get into some Caitlin stuff because, you know, the week in Caitlin, I feel like that should be the next intro song jingle that we get on this podcast is the week in Caitlin because there's always a lot to talk about. Eric, let me get your take on something that was kind of a serious thing that was mentioned on the live feeds over the weekend. It has not made the show, but Caitlin is obviously very upset about being up on the block this week. And, you know, she's campaigning for votes to people. And she's campaigning to one of, you know, her favorite people to talk to in the House. And that would be Fessy. And she's talked about how she really needs the money for her, you know, but it's not for her. Because when Swaggy C came to her and talked about how, hey, look, I don't have anything outside the house, I need the money, she told people about how, well, look, she's really the last person to talk about with that because she's really all about empowerment and not having limiting beliefs. So she doesn't really want to hear when other people say that they don't have any money because that's sort of like she's all about, she lives in a world of possibilities. So she doesn't want to hear from people like, oh, I have nothing. So that's not what she's into. But she talked to Fessy this weekend about how she really needs the money. She needs to win the money, but it's not for her. That there's a situation that happened with her family, which is, I guess, kind of a serious thing. And let me play this clip. It's a little hard to hear, so I can translate after the fact. This is Caitlin talking about why she needs the money for her family.
We're lost in the bank store.
It's just an idea.
Okay. She says, our vault at the bank was stolen. Okay, the vault at the bank was stolen.
It was like everything.
It had everything.
And he couldn't sell his business, and he couldn't retire, and he's 62, and it's like health issues, and he's supposed to work because everything was stolen from us. I don't need the money for myself. I need it for him.
So just to translate this, so her dad's bank vault was stolen. It had everything in it, and then he couldn't sell his business, and he can't retire, and he needs to keep working because the bank vault was stolen. That's why he needs Caitlin to win the $500,000 on Big Brother so that she can now set up her family.
This is serious. This is probably the worst Big Brother calamity since Becky was hit by a train. This is, except that may or may not have actually happened.
This squirrel girl doesn't get on her game face, I could be roadkill.
You would have thought that Caitlin could have potentially, you know, seen a vision of this happening ahead of time and done something to stop it, right? This is a call in. Yeah, she could have called in the, what was it, the Revengers? to possibly stop this heist.
I was like, this is like the plot of Ocean's 8, where Caitlin's dad has some sort of a bank vault, which then bad guys came in, which had all of the papers he needed to sell his business and allow him to retire, and now he can't get out the game.
I actually saw a movie script that was very similar to this. It was not Ocean's 11, though. It was Mamma Mia 4.
Ocean's 8
is the epitome of women's empowerment.
I don't want to see that movie. Why don't they bring back all those men in that movie? Where's Brad Pitt?
This is the upcoming plot of Great-Grandma Mamma Mia. In which Caitlin's family goes to on vacation to Mykonos, but then their money is stolen and they need to do a life coaching fundraiser to earn the money back. That's really a touching story.
Yes. Eric, so I heard some lesson here.
Yeah, well, I heard some details about this, right? And I think what was particularly tragic about this is that it was one of only like a very small handful of vaults that were robbed. It was not the whole bank that was robbed. And it was not the money from the bank that was robbed. It was just specifically a few random people's personal items that were taken from the bank, which between you and me, it's not how I would go about robbing a bank. That's not what I would go after.
No. Now, is it possible, could Grandpa Lou have been involved in this? That could Grandpa Lou have been somebody that he might have known what was in the vault and then flown into the bank vault and after dark, then tapped in the security code to open up the bank to the would-be burglars?
Now, in this retelling, who do you think would play Grandpa Lou? Are you envisioning someone like a Christopher Walken or an actual bird as the actor in this situation?
I think it's a CGI bird. Christopher Walken is the voice.
Oh, I like that. It's like something like Zazu from The Lion King, but with Christopher Walken. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Guys,
oh my God, we have a lot of creative projects. We're going to be busy with the concert, the We Are the World, Rockstar, just all these movies we have to write.
Yeah. Wow.
This is going to be your next reality game masters.
Mm-hmm. Too bad that the Big Brother house wasn't sort of like a Big Brother Canada 3 type theme where the entire house was a bank and then they had like a secret room, which was the vault.
I believe that the most likely scenario is this was a vault of her own mind, so to speak.
The inner vault.
Yes. He needs someone to reach into the depths of the vault of her personal energy and have stolen her thoughts from her, possibly.
Eric, so something else that's been going on with Caitlin in the house is that there has been some talk on the live feeds about that Caitlin says that there is a secret about her, which, if revealed, would ruin her, which you would think would be impossible. But are you aware of this at all?
Yes. Okay. And I think we should speculate on what that
yes.
may
okay,
very
great.
Possibly be.
Because there is rampant speculation going on of what this actually could be, not just from podcast idiots like us, but also from some of the house guests, including the beloved Swaggy
Whoa.
C at Swaggy CTV, ended up tweeting over the weekend, yes, I know Caitlin's big secret that she keeps saying will quote unquote ruin her life if it got out. Guys, I don't hate her that much to ruin her real life, crying, laughing emoji. I want her to come out of the house to happiness in the game, all caps. I hope she loses, yeah, but I'm not saying none about that zipper lip emoji hashtag BB20. So, first off, Eric, do you buy Swaggy C does indeed know the secret which will ruin Caitlin?
Well, there's nothing that people love more than when someone tease knowing something but don't tell you what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
That's sure to make everyone excited. I do believe he probably does know the secret, but we don't know the secret.
Wow, that's so crazy.
I didn't even know. now he does. So it's great. So I'm gonna go with some possible thoughts about what the secret may be. One, her grandfather's a bird, so she is half bird, half woman. Two, yes. She is actually Summer of Steve 2018's daughter.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Which I think
why would that ruin her?
Because he was such a power player that he went out in week one that she doesn't want to be targeted for, you know, having that level of gameplay.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a concern. Plus, well, actually, as far as CBS is concerned, if she voted out her own father, she's bound to come back.
Yes. She should leak that.
Exactly. So that's a possibility. Let's see. What else could she conceivably be hiding? I don't know. Any theories?
Secret,
I don't know.
Secret showmance with Brett? No. So the most rampant theory happens to be that people seem to believe that she had a hookup with one Fessy Fitness prior to the live feeds coming up. And I personally do not buy this theory. I'm out
that
on
would
this.
That would be messy for Fessy.
It would be messy for Fessy. But Eric,
Fessy failed.
How on earth could they have some sort of a hookup in the house prior to the live feeds, and then also be like realize that it did not air on the TV show?
This was actually, no joking, involved a storyline on my season of Big Brother as well. There were a he said she said of a clandestine pre-feed hookup, and in the house they fought about it the entire summer as to whether or not it did or did not happen. And since we weren't out of the house yet, we did not know the answer. We were waiting to see it on the episodes as well, and it was never aired. So to this day, I was just thinking about this in anticipation of this conversation, and I was mulling it over, and I was like, you know what, I still don't know if they hooked up inside of the house. Mm-hmm. 11 years later. So I don't know, I'm more in on this as a possibility than you are. There's nothing we've seen about Bird Lady Caitlin that she might not possibly have been capable of doing so. There's nothing we've seen about Fessy that indicates, we know that he doesn't like when women pet anybody's heads other than his. So he might have been receptive to this, very possibly.
Yeah.
And I think I would ask Scotty if he saw anything, but Scotty doesn't know.
He never knows. This was a Swaggy C's tweet. Then we got another party weighing in. The sister of quote unquote boyfriend Joe came in to respond to Swaggy C. Hey, I'm Joe's sister, and I think you should definitely reveal it because I don't want her to hear. I don't want to hear, but it was for the game when she gets out. So, musician Joe's sister is provoking Swaggy C to reveal the secret that would ruin Caitlin.
A.K.A. Rockstar's baby daddy, a.k.a. Survivor extraordinaire Joe Anglin.
Joe Anglin, right.
Sister, right, yeah. As it were. We have heard rumors of her BDE, as it were. So maybe is there a possibility that there are some issues with Big Dick Energy versus Micropenis possibly earlier in the season? Could that have been a conflict that arose,
yes,
that we don't know about?
Could you have Micropenis Energy?
I do. Can and will.
What about large clitoris energy? And is that the true definition of female empowerment?
Yeah, that was my nickname in high school. That when Winston shoved me into my locker.
I don't know. We've learned so much about Caitlin. If she hooked up with Fessy, would that, considering how flagrant she is on the live feeds, do you really feel like that she would believe the finding out of a hookup with Fessy would ruin her?
Well, that also is the part that doesn't really line up is, you know, she's a stage 5 clinger here. So if she hooked up with Fessy, she'd just retreat into the background and pretend like it never happened. That does not seem very believable.
Keep it a secret from everybody.
Right, we have heard that he is her best friend in the world and like family to her, but we have not heard the graphic details of said hookup, which we've seen no reason to believe. I mean, she would have at least loudly whispered it to somebody at some point. So I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm going to say that this is fake news.
Fake news. The theory is fake news.
Fake news.
What if she's actually what if her secret is that she is in fact financially well off and her vault was not stolen from?
Okay, so this is what I'd like to go to, that she is financially well off because she was in on the bank vault heist, Eric.
You just blew my mind.
That's the big secret that could ruin her. She was responsible.
I'm having a hit right now. What if Caitlin was in on the bank robbery also? This just came to me just now. I had a dream about this. A daydream about it during the podcast.
You are amazing.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that before, but I don't know. It's just, I feel it in my bones now.
Okay. Well, and then this is my other theory of what the big secret could be that could ruin Caitlin. And I mean, sit down for this, because I think that this could really be a complete paradigm shift of everything you know about Caitlin. Okay. That maybe she might not actually be clairvoyant.
Stop. Yeah. Now, come on. Listen,
that would ruin her.
Rob, we spoke about this earlier. You don't want to go anywhere near these types of bald-faced accusations and throwing around such offensive stuff.
Yes, I don't want to malign
story yourself, right? the metaphysical community, right? Now, you don't need any enemies here. This is bad news. I do believe you could be on to something, but I don't think you want to be on the record saying that, or you're going to get all kinds of negative auras about you.
No, we don't want that.
This is serious. I mean, is it possible she's not a life coach?
Well, I think she's a life coach. She does have the website.
What is this that I heard the other night about that she's actually just a spray tanner for Chuck Liddell?
So we didn't know where we heard that from. I think that might have been a Reddit thread, but allegedly that there is a story out there that Chuck Liddell got a spray tan prior to Big Brother Celebrity and met her and then referred her to Robin Cass. And he's like, this chick is nuts. And then that is how she became part of the Big Brother world.
There's something that's not adding up to me about that scenario, which is there's no way in the world that Chuck spoke to production before or after these 10 days he was in the house.
Yeah, I don't think that Robin Cass worked on Big Brother Celebrity.
No, she did not cast Big Brother Celebrity. I can believe he got a spray tan before going on the show. That much I believe.
I saw him before he went on. I don't remember thinking of him as being particularly
tan.
Actually,
he's a fairly pale fellow, right? I don't know. That one's not adding up for me. That can't be.
You're out on the Chuck Liddell spray tan theory.
Fake news.
Uh-oh, hold on. I have a cameo appearance creeping up next to me, disrupting the show.
Yes. Okay, what is it? Is it Grandpa Lou?
It is the great Baby Dino the dog from Instagram.
Baby Dino the dog from Instagram.
Ha, ha, ha.
Get ready for a takeover.
Is there a segment that Baby Dino the dog from Instagram wants to do?
Yes, he is also clairvoyant, and he can predict the Big Brother future. He can only respond to yes or no questions, but if you ask him, he'll be able to predict what will happen later this week and next week in the Big Brother house.
Okay, Baby Dino the dog will.
Let me get him up to the microphone so that way we can hear him.
Will Caitlin return to the Big Brother house after being evicted?
Summer of Steve 2018.
Baby Dino the dog. Will Caitlin be the next HOH of the Big Brother house?
I don't know, but I've got big dick energy.
Baby Dino the dog, will Swaggy C reveal Caitlin's secret on social media this summer?
I only paid him to answer two questions.
Okay,
he has a high rate on those Instagram ads, so doesn't give up his time for free.
Okay, Eric, I have a voicemail question from one of our most prolific voicemailers. Here is Victoria has a question for you.
Hey, Rob has a podcast. Hey. Hey, Eric Stein. Hey, it's Victoria again. I have a question for Eric. My question is, which one of his chakras would he have Caitlin align for him? So, yeah, answer me that. Okay, I hope you guys have a beautiful day. Bye.
Eric,
literally, never in our lives has anyone been happier to speak with us.
Eric, which one of your chakras would you have Caitlin align?
I would never be so dumb as to have a woman like Caitlin align any of my chakras. I did earlier today venture out onto the streets of New York City, and I had some street meat that I think may have been a chakra, possibly.
Okay, so there's seven chakras, Eric.
Okay, all right.
We have the root chakra.
Okay, don't know what that means.
The sacral chakra.
Mm-hmm.
The solar plexus chakra.
Ooh.
The heart chakra.
Oh.
The throat chakra. The third eye chakra, which was my favorite 90s band. And the crown chakra, which I believe Winston Churchill is featured in prominently.
I don't remember the least five of what you just said. So I will have to go with my third eye chakra.
Third eye chakra.
Chakra. Yes, I'd also be very excited to hear Casey chime in on this as well, because I, much like you, I was so excited to hear her speak in the last episode.
Yes,
it's wonderful.
Oh, I thought you wanted to, and that was another hit from the band Third Eye Chakra.
Well, yes, that would have been much better joke. Hey, that's why you're a professional, my friend.
Yes. Oh, you mean Daddy Casey?
Yes, Daddy. Hashtag Daddy Casey speaks. Exactly.
My Daddy Casey.
That actually may have been a 90s band as well.
Yes. Three confessionals last night, all in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I guess because they thought her going for an HOH she didn't need was her big power move of the season so far.
That was going to be it.
Angela made a big power move during the competition as well. I think her big moment of the week was when she contemplated whether or not she should wet herself to keep warm during the competition.
Was that a real thing?
Oh, it was a real thing. I actually turned on the feeds, was watching the competition. What was bizarre, though, is she was only up there for 30 minutes, so it really didn't seem necessary. But that was she's moving and shaking in the house this week as well.
Okay. Let's start to wrap up the show with a few other tweets from the listeners of the Summer of Stein podcast. Okay, let's see. This is one from Chris Hickey wants to know, how would Caitlin do on the challenge? Eric,
well, she's a real physical specimen for sure. Is very drama free. I'd give her a run of about 3 or 4 hookups and out in week two.
Out in week two, so not bad.
Yeah, not bad. And back on several seasons. The challenge leans into the crazy even more than Big Brother does. Crazy is a prerequisite for the challenge. So I think she would fit right in there. But she's going to need like a good, maybe like go on an exes season, possibly like bring Fessy along with her, something along those lines, I think, to power her way up the ranks.
I mean, Eric, do you feel like that if we were to manage the career of one Caitlin Herman outside of the house, that do you feel like that we would be able to put her on a path to sustained relevance for the next 3 years?
Yeah, this is pretty easy. I mean, you have to keep in mind that Big Brother fans have financed full vacations for people, baby clothes, gift baskets, meals for a year. So all Caitlin really needs to do
is let her three creepiest admirers pay her to do their life coaching Skype sessions, and she'll be good for the next decade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you think she doesn't even need us?
No, no. I mean, that's my plan. I would lay out for her.
Okay. All right. Let's take this question. This is from Alex on Twitter. Please rank the following birthdays. Keisha's birthday, Rachel's birthday, Rockstar's daughter's birthday, Eve.
Yeah, nothing will ever top Keisha's birthday. We all know that. So that's going to have to be number one. That also involved one of my all-time favorite confessionals, because nothing truer has ever been spoken in the Big Brother house. Jesse, who's narrating the whole situation, says, "So I was just waking up from my fifth nap of the day when all hell broke loose." And that really spoke to me and my experiences in the Big Brother house. You know, there was a lot of women's empowerment in the Big Brother 10 house. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw it in full display at Keisha's birthday. Rachel's birthday, not that great. But
I don't remember Rachel's birthday.
I believe that was like 3 days ago.
This Rachel from Vegas's birthday.
And I don't even remember what the blow up was anymore.
It had to do with that kid that Tyler kissed Rachel and Caitlin got mad.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I actually had a more raucous party than that for Jamaica's birthday once upon a day. So that's way down the list.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Rockstar's disgusting daughters. Not that was a misplaced modifier.
I can't believe on my daughter's birthday.
To clarify, her daughter is not disgusting. Yes. The events of her daughter's birthday.
You are disgusting.
That was for you.
We've already established Arcadia is lovely.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then this is from Wojak Horseman. I tweeted this earlier to you guys, but what is the chance percentage that Steve is brought in to host the rebooted Hunted, Eric?
Summer Steve 2018.
I love that this is a double down question, as if the fact that this question was asked previously makes it make any more sense.
Yes.
I appreciate the following up, since we let that one slip through.
Wojak Horseman is indignant.
Yes, very, very. Okay. And I will keep on tweeting this until I get my answer. I would personally rather see him with a monocle hosting the reboot of Utopia. An ideal.
But that's not a CBS property.
Oh, you're right. That might not cross over in the same way. But I don't know. You know, they're trading off with MTV now. So maybe he can go make his way to... I don't know. I don't like the chances. I'm going to give it a 0% chance that he hosts the rebooted Hunted. I also give it a 0% chance that...
Star!
Hunted is rebooted.
Without Summer Steve.
Okay. Right. If they want it rebooted, that is the way to get it on the air. That's correct.
And a late breaking question. This is from Thomer on Twitter. Rob, please pin down Eric on this hashtag 900 seasons of reality TV he's claimed to have watched. I personally believe him, but there are some out there that are claiming that this is
fake news.
Okay, well, much like making up that you have a fake boyfriend out of the house, or the real gap in logic that took place this week as well, where no one seemed to mention the fact that, let's say Brett actually called out Rockstar and this was the actual plan. Why would she still cast that vote? That should have been enough to diffuse this whole situation. Right. It really didn't make a lot of logical sense. So why don't we ask this person who is writing in with this question, what would I possibly have to gain by claiming that I have spent so many hours of my life watching reality television? I mean, there is nothing positive. This is not going to help my reputation on the streets here. I could not imagine why someone would fathom to make up such a ludicrous lie about themselves. 900 episodes would be appalling enough. 900 full seasons. Do you understand what else I could have been doing with my life? If I did not watch these shows, and the thing is, right, the numbers, first of all, if you start doing the math quickly, they add up a lot faster than you think, because all of these like mega franchises, I've watched 20 or 30 seasons of them. So that in and of itself, you know, propels the list pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But I'd be lying if I said that there weren't some really dark secrets, worse than Caitlin's secret, buried on my list of 900 shows. You'll see gems such as the WB's big man on campus, their attempt to do a collegiate version of The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great one. Listen, guys, if the show has aired, I there's a good chance that I watched it in its entirety, at least for one season. So I couldn't possibly have made up such a stupid lie about myself. Like I could say I slept with 900 women. I'm worth $900,000. Mm-hmm. But instead, I am telling you, I sat on my couch and watched 900 seasons of this garbage.
Are there a lot of international seasons in there?
Actually, almost none. Yeah,
you probably would be so cultured.
No, that's the funniest thing is that it's even worse because a lot of it is like the real dreck of reality TV. I also, there's several mega franchises I've never touched. I've never watched a season of, you know, The Housewives or things of that nature or whatever. So, I mean, this is we're going deep to build out this list. As we have established, I'm not as young as I used to be. So I started this at the dawn of reality TV. So when you really think about that, I've been building up this list for a solid 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's still a lot of shows.
So don't come for Eric, people. All right.
And I noted on Twitter when asked about this, no, I do not have a spreadsheet detailing it because I'm so old. I barely know how to use Excel. So I have a Word document. It's in, I think, Word 97, where I keep track of all of the shows that I watched.
All right, Eric, anything else from this week on the Summer of Stein podcast?
I was curious how you would handle a situation that Fessy was put in this week. I was genuinely curious. You have two of theoretically your best allies. One you're in love
I feel like that you're going to get a little bit into
I'm just saying no. Just juggling the fact that you have these two harlots on the block together,
yes,
toying with your emotion. How do you juggle keeping everybody happy in this situation?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily his main objective. I think that he is very much keyed in on one objective, and I don't know necessarily if keeping Caitlin happy is a super high priority for him.
Well, I agree. I think he should not worry about juggling. I think he needs to commit to one side. I also thought, and this is an interesting byproduct of Sam's whole meltdown, is that I thought Haley came across as super sympathetic. She's like 65% of the way to going full Nicole here. When she undoubtedly comes in seventh place on this season, all she needs to do is date like three hunky BB guys and she'll be back and win a returning season and on The Amazing Race in no time. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like she became like that really rootable, America's 21-year-old large sweatshirt wearing girl last night. I think she's on the rise with her popularity. And maybe Fessy is just trying to, hitch his wagon, so to speak, to the soaring popularity of Haley.
Okay. Eric, anything else you want to leave us with this week?
No, this has already gone on for a half an hour or too long.
Okay. All right. So we got a lot still coming up this week on the Big Brother front. LFC Roundtable is going to be back on Tuesday. Of course, I will be back on Wednesday night and Thursday night with more recaps as well this week. And of course, I'll be back here with Eric Stein next Monday. You can leave us your feedback questions, get them into the show. Email bigbrother@robhasawebsite.com or leave us voicemail at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAPA. I also post a tweet over the weekend to solicit more feedback from the listeners of the podcast, Eric.
Perhaps we should solicit the plot of Mamma Mia 5 for 30 years from now as part of next week's podcast.
That would be wonderful. Of course, you can get even more Rob as a podcast. Go even further into the insanity when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, Eric, to close out the show, we will give you how we're feeling heading into the next episode of Summer Sun. Anything else before we close out?
I'm not opposed to Amazon priming myself a sort of like fortune teller head wrap for baby Dino the dog for next week. Yes. So if you have any questions for him to predict, we might make that a full-time segment moving forward.
Okay. All right. So with that in mind, let's set up the next episode of the Summer of Stein. I don't know what Eric's problem is saying that I am not the definition of male empowerment, that he wants to talk about my private parts, and some things are private, okay?
By telling Rob about that poem earlier, I think I could get closer to Rob and get Taryn to trust me more.
Who will take over Rob Has a Podcast next week? Will it be Rob or will it be Eric? Find out next time on The Summer of Stein. Slow motion.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weekly shape pad. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer of Stein.